We're going to get into the Word here this morning. Appreciate Pastor Whitney ministering last week. You know, sometimes there's divine appointments. And Karen and I went to a church last Sunday when we went to visit my parents. And the message was for us. Aren't you glad you go to church and God has a message for you? Amen. And so we are grateful for that opportunity that no matter where we're at, God knows where you're at. And he has something just for you. So I appreciate Pastor Whitney for giving us the word. I heard some good reports. I heard it from somebody that didn't even come to church here. What went on last week. So, and grateful for the abilities and skills and the talents that God has placed within our church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church today? Yeah. All right, we'll see. I'll ask you that after the servants. Amen. Hallelujah. We're glad you're here today. If you're a guest today online or here in person, we're grateful for you to be here. And we pray that God's blessings, God, will rest upon you this day. Lord, we pray for ears to hear what the Spirit would have us to say. Amen. So I have an illustration today. I'm not stealing your illustration. I found out that after you gave yours on Thursday that mine was kind of similar. And how many know God wants to use us? How many know that there is a residential power within us that God wants us to tap into? It's called the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian today and you have accepted Jesus Christ, he has given you the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we're here today. We want to learn how to tap into that. And today I just want to give a foundation as we move forward here today, because I want to point to the fact that sometimes I believe as people in the church, they sometimes have a wrong perception of what the power of God really is. And so I'm just going to lay a foundation for today, and we're going to kind of go towards that as we move on through the weeks. I'd kind of like to make it a series. Next week, we do have the Barnabas crew is going to be with us, so come out and be with them as they share what God has done for them over the past year. And so come on out with Dan and Maria and the girls and the boy that she's marrying. And so we just encourage you to come out and support them with your presence. Amen. So I brought some tools with me here today, and today we have gotten to the place where we have gotten away from tools with cords. Amen. And we have battery-operated tools here today, and how many know that these tools are worthless without a power source, just like the electrical ones were? And so it doesn't matter. In this, I brought a bunch of different tools here, and they all take one source of power, a battery. And so people in the church, guess what? We have different callings. We have different talents. We have different giftings that God has placed with it. But guess what? We have the same power source, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we know that when we're working with these and the batteries go dead, they are basically worthless. And if we don't have a battery, guess what? They are worth. This is nothing. It means nothing. It can do nothing. All right? And how many know, as believers today, if we're not connected to the power source, we're kind of worthless, right? And I believe today, some of us, we can get so caught up in doing the job that we forget the relationship, that we can be so busy working that we're not connected to the power. And so many times, we can get up and we can minister, we can preach, we can teach, we can serve in any capacity without the anointing and the power of God on our life, because what? We're used to doing it, right? We know these tools are worthless without a power source. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you got charisma, if you're a great speaker, guess what? You're not going to change anybody's life. You're not going to do any good for anybody. You may, for the moment, move them emotionally, but guess what? You're not going to change their lives. It is the power of God that changes lives, and we need him in our lives. So I believe sometimes that we have given the wrong perception about the power of God to individuals. Sometimes there's misinformation. If you'll go to that slide. There's a misinformation out there that we can operate and we can control and possess this power. And that is a dangerous place. We are not in the driver's seat. It is Jesus's power that we operate in. And because that misinformation, we come to a misunderstanding. We can sometimes give people the wrong impressions that if you accept Jesus Christ, this and this is going to happen. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? This is going to happen. But folks, we can give them the wrong impression. We can give them the misunderstanding. And so it leads to misguidance. Where when they have these expectations and those expectations are not met, they're disappointed. They reject it. Amen? Do you know people that came into Christianity, accepted Christ, with this some expectation that life was going to be different? I was going to be empowered. We're only empowered when we're plugged in to Jesus Christ. So there's that misinformation, that misunderstandings, and that misguidance. And so we see that people can kind of get off into Weirdville, right? You know some of those individuals that have gotten weird because of their misconception of the power of God. So if you remember, a couple weeks ago, I spoke on Peter and John, P and J. You remember them? They were heading into the temple in Acts chapter 3. Let me just kind of touch on that before we move on here today. Day after day, we read in that story that they went to the temple at the third hour and they prayed. And so they were on their way and they encountered a man. And the Bible says day after day, this man was placed there at that gate. So I don't know how often they passed this man. I don't know how often maybe the other apostles passed this man or any other believers going to the third hour of prayer. I don't know how many times they passed him. Why wasn't this man healed sooner? Why wasn't this man ministered to sooner? Why this day? Weren't the apostles filled with the Holy Spirit on those other days? Didn't they believe in healing? Jesus instructed him, do what? I want you to go out and I want you to preach. I want you to heal. And I want you to cast out demons. They knew this. They experienced this. So what was the difference on this day from any other day in the temple that day? I want to say this. It was the God factor. The God factor was the difference. I believe sometimes we leave God, his will, and his timing out of the equation. How many know our job is to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, keep praying, keep believing? That is our responsibility. How many know it is Jesus' job to do the work, to do the healing, to do the provision? It is his job. Disappointments and discouragement will result when we leave God out of the equation. And so we know the story there. It was ended up with this man being healed, and we know that revival took place. So we read the Gospels and the book of Acts like it's a daily journal. We have this mentality sometimes that Peter, James, John, Paul, the apostles, they just, every day, every moment of the day, they were just a power source, just healing and touching and delivering people. But if we read the book of Acts, what we find out, it is a book that is spread over days, weeks, years, and decades. How many have ever read the Gospels? And you see the miracles of Jesus. How many know a lot of it's very repetitious? And we read the book of John. He said, if all the things that Jesus did and accomplished was written, the world could not even contain the books. And yet, we only have a handful of stories. In fact, they're the same stories. We have this assumption that Jesus, Paul, the apostles, that every moment, every day, they were just, they're ready, empowered. How many of the Holy Spirit is present always? But how many know that sometimes, even as we're praying in a church setting like this, that sometimes when we pray for people, they're not healed right away, right? Sometimes our praying and laying hands on people and believing for healing is fewer than, the miracles are fewer than the actual prayers. This isn't a Debbie Downer message here today, okay? It's not to discourage you. I'm just laying a foundation. The supernatural is not like turning on a light switch or turning on the faucet. Do you understand that? Wouldn't it be nice for us to be able to, any time, any moment, any place, be able to operate in the miraculous? What a place that would be. But that's not a reality for us. The God of the supernatural lives in us and ministers through us. I believe that. God turns, he's the one who turns on the light. He's the one who turns on the faucet. And our focus needs to be on the person of Jesus Christ. He is the source of power. When the disciples asked Jesus when he was coming back to set up his kingdom, this is what he said in Acts chapter 1. He said, then he gathered around and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And look what he says. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority. I understand the statement, but I want you to let this sink in here this morning, that there is a timing. God moves sovereignly sometimes. How about when he wants? We can't have enough faith. We cannot quote enough scripture to make God move. I know I'm walking on dangerous ground here. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying here. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. Scott, we've been praying for you for what? Months. Months. Months, months, months. You've had up, down, up, down. And last week, what? Something happened, right? God touched you. It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Folks, we want that to happen. And it says, then you will be my witnesses. What are the witnesses? Matthew talks about what we are to go out and what? Make disciples. We are to preach the gospel. And Mark tells us what? These signs will follow those who believe. So God has a timing. We are to be his witnesses in word and in deed, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. How many know all of us today, as I said earlier, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And there will be times when the Holy Spirit comes on you or works through you to do the supernatural. He wills it. How many know we would will it every time we pray? I hope every time you pray, that is what your desire is, to see God do something in the life of somebody, whatever that prayer request may be. We do it with the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to do something. Why pray? Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Paul explains it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I know I'm digging a deep hole here, so hang on, okay? Because there are things that God has given us that will empower us to do great things for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Other translations say, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to ignore these gifts. I don't want you to disregard these gifts. I don't want you to misunderstand these gifts. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. But verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of gifts. This means grace, okay? These are the word charismata is the word gifts, which means grace. Okay? So these are graces that God gives us to operate in. There are different kinds of graces. There are different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit does what? He distributes or resources them. He is the resource of those gifts. There are different kinds of service, ministries or ways of serving, but the same Lord who does what? He authorizes, empowers, and calls and distributes them. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, activities and operations in carrying out the various ministries. That's what these mean. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work who equips, this is what the commentary says, who equips and empowers every believer to do the daily activities of his ministry. Verse 11, all these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as what? He determines. Libby's here. I'm going to use him as an example. And God uses him quite a bit in the prophetic tongues and interpretation in those gifts. Does he do it every week? Why don't you do it every week? Okay. As the Spirit determines. Wouldn't it be nice to come in and be able to just do that every week? I mean, you probably come in with the mindset of, Lord, I'm here. If you have something to say to this body, use me. But again, it is determined by the Spirit. Psalm 62:11, David writes this. He says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, it is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. One thing God has spoken, and I have heard it, power belongs to you, God. So the word power here can be translated strength. The word power seems to be more tantalizing than the word strength. Don't we like the word power? There's just something powerful about it, right? Power, all right? Strength just doesn't kind of move us like the word power does, because it infiltrates and overstimulates our egos. We like that word power. Power and strength is a character trait of God. It's his. We just read it there in Psalm 62. It belongs to him. Just like God is love, God is power. God is strength. He is strong here today. The Bible says there is what? Nothing impossible for God. Doesn't that sound like power to you? It does. A couple weeks ago, I made this statement that Jesus' name is synonymous with power. Right? We pray, we preach, we minister in Jesus' name. There is something tempting about power. As people, we like glamour. Right? Turn the TV on. How many ugly people you see? Not very many, do you? We like gold. We like money. But we also like power. We like position. And so the Bible tells us that Satan desired it, but Satan never owned it. He never owned it. He was around it. He saw it. He felt the effects of it. But he never owned it. Revelation chapter 12 says this. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. There's that word, strong. He wasn't strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Look what it says there. He leads. That's all he can do. That's all he has the power to do is to lead. He lies. He steals. He deceives. He convinces. He influences. All power belongs to God. Satan does not, he wants it. He desires it. Genesis 3:15, he was cursed by God in the garden and says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And it says there, he will crush your head. Who's he? It's Jesus. Will crush your head and you will nip at his heel. That's all the devil can do in your life is nip at you. That's all the power he has. But yet we inflate it. Like he is some supernatural strong thing that's just going to sweep us off our feet. It's not true. He can only nip. Ephesians 4:27 says this. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil power over you. Don't give him that opportunity or place. And so the only way he can overpower us here this morning is if we allow him, if we empower him. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, do not give, I just read that. James 4, 7, submit yourselves then to who? To God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. What's the first thing we do? We submit to God. We are in right relationship with God. And when we're in right relationship with God, then we can resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Folks, if you are not in right relationship with Christ, if you're not walking with him regularly, guess what? You're going to be one of these. And you can tell the devil to flee all you want. But you have no power over him. You'll be kind of like those individuals called the sons of Sceva, you remember? Who said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who in the world are you? That's why we need to understand where our power lies. Paul understood his power laid in Jesus. Folks, we need to know. Christians like Satan can find themselves in pursuit of power that is not for them to possess. It's tantalizing. Christians can desire to own it, like it is ours. Please understand what I'm saying here, okay? Follow through, all right? The source of power is given by God alone. It is God in us. It is God in us. We are not mutants with superpowers, like those found in Marvel and DC Comics, right? We are Holy Spirit empowered, church. We are inhabited by the Holy Spirit and empowered by a supernatural God who works through us. I need you to understand, we don't own it. Just because I become a Christian and a follower of Jesus, he doesn't transfer his power to me. He still wants me plugged in to his power. He is the power source. This is me without Jesus. It's useless. It's powerless. We need to be hooked into the power. We are stewards of the power. We are not the owners, we are renters. Amen. He owns us. We don't own him. I know this is going over really well here this morning. But we need to understand where we stand in this. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through who? Christ. Who does what? All right. That word strength. Power. All right? He gives us the power. Ephesians chapter 1, we read this a couple weeks ago. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Listen to verse 19. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. Hallelujah. It's for us to walk in, church. We don't possess it. We walk in it as we walk with him, in relationship with him. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That's a lot of power. Far above every rule, every authority, every power, every dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things where? Under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I'm just establishing here today that the power resides within us, but we don't own that power. That power is exerted, that power is tapped into as we walk with him. We are to live in readiness to be used by God. And the title of this series is, Are You Ready? He wants you to be ready. And he has given you everything you need to be ready. And that's what we want to talk about here coming up. We are to live in readiness to be used by God. The cry of the soul is for empowerment. Folks, we do. We want to be empowered. We have a real enemy called the devil. We live in a world full of temptation, and we fight the flesh with its passions and its pride and its egos and its self-sufficiency. That is the battle that we have. And that's why we need this power that he has made available for us. Psalm 62:11, power belongs to you, God. This power is not mystical. It's not mysterious. It's not something we can switch on and switch off. But God has revealed to us how to tap into this power. If you'll give me the next slide. Power belongs to God. How many know his word is powerful? The blood of Christ is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Prayer is powerful. A surrendered life is powerful. And these are some of the things that I would like to address, that I'd like to talk about. These are not things up for choice. It's not a smorgasbord that would say, well, I'll choose his word for 200. Or I'll choose prayer for 300. We don't pick and choose. This is part of the empowerment that we're walking in this. This is tools for the trade. This is the things that makes us powerful. These are the things that are going to charge our batteries. These are the things that are going to make us ready to be used by God. Peter and James were discovering for themselves what it meant to minister in Jesus' name in Acts chapter 3 without Jesus being present. If you would, ushers, get ready to serve communion. Pentecostal experience is to be lived out daily in anticipation of God demonstrating his power through us. You understand that, right? Kenneth Hagin used to use this example in a lot of his teachings and his books. And if you've ever read his books, his books are based on his teaching. I don't think he ever wrote a book. I think they just took his teachings and wrote the books. But he often used the description of a policeman. We know that a police officer has been given authority. He's been given a badge, been given a gun, been given tools to do what he's called to do. But he is only a representative of the law and of the system. He is only a representative. How many know that a police are under authority? They're not just out there wielding their own authority, doing what they want anytime they want. They have been empowered by the government to keep the law. But how many know that when a police goes rogue, does what he wants, he becomes subject to the law? He's limited. Go ahead, sir. Folks, today we are under authority. We are under authority of Jesus Christ. And he has empowered us. He has given you his authority to walk in that authority. So think about it today, that if we're going to go outside of that relationship that we have with him, we're going to go rogue. And we're going to find out that we're not as effective as we should be as believers. As I said, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I want you to know what the real source is. Because somehow we become Christians and think that we can just do what we want with an authority that maybe it really hasn't been given to us. God has a timing. God has a place. God is the one who operates. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. As I said, keep believing. Keep praying. Keep working. The Bible says that we are planters of the seed. We're waterers. We water that seed. We fertilize that seed. But it is God who causes it to grow. And sometimes we have that privilege of being part of the harvest. Being there when the miracle happens, when the salvation happens, when the healing happens, when the deliverance happens. That's what we strive for. That's why we keep pressing on. That's why we keep ministering. Because we don't know when that moment's going to be. It doesn't diminish who we are in Christ, but we need to recognize that he is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. We work for him. So take the pressure off yourself that you have to deal with the results. We're not supposed to be result-oriented. We can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. But he can. He can. And he will. Maybe he's waiting for us to catch up. So we're going to talk about some of these things. The importance of the word and the blood and the Holy Spirit and prayer and a surrendered life. Maybe the biggest area that we need to talk about is surrendered life. God said, I want you to be holy because I'm holy. It's hard in this world. Hallelujah.